This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
A great sunny afternoon. This is Frida Liu. It's Tech Talk. And speaking of weather, he's tried very hard to be sunny and jolly over the last few weeks. He's tried very hard. But the darkness has a way of worming its way back in. Today, Culture Pop's Matt Armitage, what if his way into the future of people? So are you saying we're doomed?
Hey, Frida, just a word on the sunniness. I actually have clouds painted on my glasses so that, you know, I never have to see the sunshine. No, we're not doomed. We're just like everything else in the universe. We're finite. Mm-hmm. But I thought it might be fun today to look at some of the end times, not in a religious sense, but at some of the things that science or time or even carelessness might bring to an end when it comes to people.
I know you're not going to want to end on a high point, so let's at least start with one. What's the good news?
Well, wouldn't it be really nice to be able to say goodbye to illness and disease?
No, do you think is that possible? So many diseases mutate and reinvent themselves to innovate.
Yes.
Then we can find cures for them.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, we've all heard these scare stories about antibiotic resistance and the idea that people might start dying again from simple things like, you know, a cut knee or an infected tooth. So we do have to take a bit of a leap here. We've talked a little bit on shows before about CRISPR, which is the gene editing tool. One of the exciting ideas behind this is that we can simply snip out the bits of genetic code that make us susceptible to certain illnesses or conditions. So we'd have to imagine that we were capable of coming up with ways to cure, you know, diseases like AIDS, as well as preventing diseases like cancers or Alzheimer's from forming in the first place.
And presumably we all live a little lot longer.
A lot longer. And that's where the problem lies. I mean, you could say, you know, you could use tissue regeneration to replace worn out organs and limbs. You're essentially regrowing bits of yourself. And of course, there are a number of issues. Even if we assume that women don't use this technology to extend their own fertility and they continue to reach menopause at 50 or thereabouts, we still have a major population issue. You know, if the majority of people just have the replacement number of kids, that's still an awful lot of people on the planet because, you know, you're living to 150, 160. And of course, you have the really not very pleasant idea that guys are fathering children at the age of 130 or 140. And that's, you know, that's pretty grim on its own. And of course, you know, globally, if people aren't dying and more are still being born, we are going to end up with a massive resource crisis. We're not going to have enough food. We're not going to have enough space. Finding jobs. And, you know, doing all of this without kind of destroying the planet.
All right. Tell Hugh Hefner that.
I'll give it a go.
Right. This was supposed to be the good news, right? You've made the end of illness sound terrifying.
Yeah, it's a case of the silk purse turning into the sow's ear. It's one of those reversal of fortune things. It could get worse. I mean, it might be like that 1970s movie Soylent Green. The old people who volunteer to be euthanized get payments or benefits for their families and, you know, then we turn them into food. We should also be careful in case the reverse happens. I mean, when we look at society, it's older people who are the richer people. They have more power than the younger ones. So the young might end up being, you know, slaves, you know, being herded and killed basically by old people. Or more likely, rich nations will simply wreak havoc on poorer nations and they'll take their land and resources for their own huge and aging populations. Of course, these are my worst case scenarios. We shouldn't put off trying to cure disease because of some dystopian notion about the future. It's just a reminder that with any massive change like this, there is a set of choices, there is a set of responsibilities that comes with it.
Let's stick with people and populations for a moment. How are these scientific advances likely to change the way we have children?
Well, there's one potential future that this could actually lead to the end of sex, or at least as a way of making babies. So that's why it's here as part of this end times special. So we have at one end of the spectrum these stem cell and gene editing tools. So they can allow us to breed a race of super intelligent Homo sapiens, which will defeat the super machine intelligences that we talked about last week.
I saw that movie.
Oh, yeah, exactly. A biotech startup called Calistem claimed last year to have made the precursors to human sperm and eggs from skin cells. They didn't go all the way to creating something viable because obviously there are a lot of ethical concerns about this. But that basically means that you could make the egg from a man and the sperm from a woman. Or you could even have both of them derived from your own body. You could make your own baby.
Would that be a clone?
I was hoping so, but disappointingly no, because apparently you're not replicating the DNA. Some changes occur when the sperm fertilizes the egg, so the DNA splits. But it's still not a good idea because it's a case of inbreeding. You're not introducing any new genes into the pool, so you're actually likely to amplify any of the defective genes you already possess. And of course, you continue that for long enough and your descendants are going to end up looking and panting like bulldogs, so it's not going to be particularly nice. More realistically, the eggs would be created from tissue samples, and then they could be screened or tweaked before being fertilized and implanted in the womb. So that's where we get our race of super babies.
Okay, at least the improved intelligence sounds like a good thing.
Well, as we discussed last week, a lot of humans who have interacted with the current generation of artificial intelligences find that they end up learning things that they can apply to their lives. So they're learning from these artificial intelligences. Right. So what if we were to replicate computer systems and link up our minds into a distributed network? It's not actually as crazy as it sounds. According to a report in New Scientist, staff at the University of Washington in Seattle have already built a machine that can link two human brains. So one of the team wore a cap that measures brain activity, while another one wore a cap that uses targeted magnetic fields to stimulate areas of the brain. And in that way, the first guy was able to think about moving his hand, and the signal was actually passed to the second guy, who involuntarily moved his finger. So you had one guy moving the body part of somebody else.
How is this the end of something?
Well, if you take it to the logical extreme, it would actually be the end of the individual. We would become a collectivized species. We'd be able to share information and experiences. It would be similar to telepathy, albeit one that's aided by neural enhancements and sensors rather than occurring naturally. But you'd be able to share in people's joy as well as their pain. There's that potential for, you know, collective enlightenment, but there's also a potential for darker emotions, whether it's mass hysteria or bigotry, to spread too. And plus, you know, it would probably be owned by Facebook. So Facebook would actually own our consciousness.
I think Google's doing that already.
I think so,
right.
Actually.
So would we really surrender ourselves to this kind of collective experience?
The chances are no. As I said, it would be technologically enhanced rather than evolutionary. So potentially it would be something we could log in and out of, and that's where the Facebooky part comes. Yes. So it would be like this huge social network where everyone was your friend and was sharing simultaneously. I know, it's a bit mind-boggling to get your head around. So you might be able to physically see the world through someone else's eyes, for example, or you might be able to tap into a running commentary of the newest Star Wars movie alongside 10 million chattering geeks. I nearly said Greeks then. Just imagine that. 10 million versions of me all shouting in your brain in unison. That sounds like a pretty great future to me.
Man, I'm a dish for culturepop.com. He'll be here again still after this with the Geek Squawks.
Yes, and my apologies to any chattering Greeks out there.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.